Yes. Sure. Right. Sure. No, yeah, I think it's right. Sure. And of course, I'm glad to lay all this out on those big decisions and
yeah.
To work it out. I printed out copies of the email. I know like everybody, but
yeah,
so I'm glad to know them, so.
Yeah, super.
Well, and yourself?
Yes,
everybody.
Ms. Seeger, your mic You may want to slide it towards you a little bit and speak up just a little bit, because it's hard for me to hear you when I'm trying to admit it. Probably, maybe if you elevate. Yeah, you don't have to bring it up a lot, but just at least, even if you can't bring it up, at least just try to make sure that you're right.
Now 7 o'clock, we're calling the August 26, 2015 meeting of the Blue Mountain Planning Commission quarter at this time. Our first item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The next item on the agenda is the director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one sad announcement for us. Mr. Lindsay's last day as planner. The planning department will be September 18th. stay in that position for the city.
Not allowed.
What department did you say?
I'm not sure if it's VR or Revenue Commission. He'll be able to tell you. But aside from that, we have SUP. Dan's the SUP was approved by the Board of Supervisors on August 5th unanimously. And I just want to let the Planning Commission know that we're having a neighborhood meeting September 10th for the January Water Authority Waterline Project on September 10th at 6:30 at the ARC building in Kent Store. And that will be in lieu of a work session this month. So we'll be having a public meeting for the neighborhood meeting requirement. That's ARC building in Kent Store. And that will be going through the Planning Commission on September 23rd for public hearing. That's all I have to report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The next item is public comments. This will be the first of two public comment sections we'll have tonight. This is a public comment section for anything other than the public hearing items that's on the agenda tonight. Anyone wanting to come forward to make any comments, please come to the microphone and state your name and address, please. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the first public comment section. Next item is approval of minutes. The minutes from the July 22nd meeting. Anybody have any comments about the minutes? Do I have a motion?
Project plan as submitted to county planning staff.
again, our understanding is regulatory, and they're complying with regulations that govern proper closing of these, ponds are no longer needed post-conversion. This would be a conceptual closure, rendering of what the area would look like, and is anticipated to take, I believe, about 3 years. It's between two and three years. With that, representatives from Dominion are here tonight. This is the motion before you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that she may have.
Anybody have any questions? Mr. Tuckle? Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Would an applicant like to come forward?
Unless you have questions.
Do you have any questions? If we have no questions, do we have any discussion?
This is something that has to be done, and I'm assuming that it's regulated before the development we should do this?
Yes, this one.
So
that's what I understand. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the SCP 1512 plan for the proposed course of production of individuals in town and ponds to include this course by the development power generation facilities with respect to 284 and 945 shooters of attack class in the course of the campaign, subject to the conditions of the community effort.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Eager. I have a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda will be SUP 1505 of the public hearing by Jeff Jennings, Landscape Materials Supply Business.
Mr. Chairman, this is SUP 1505. It is a special use permit request from Mr. Jeff Jennings to operate a landscape material supply business with respect to 1.6 acres, tax map 4, section 8, parcel 53C, zoned agricultural. And the applicant's proposed actually a continuance of his landscape material supply business and outdoor storage of mulch and topsoil. There's an existing 30 by 30 center block building on this property. Business has been in operation for several years now, and Mr. Jennings is seeking to bring it to compliance. So, this is the aerial photograph. It's 1098 Paynes Mill Road. A couple of photographs for the commission. It's the exterior of the building. So again, the request is for landscape material supply. It does require special use permit in the agricultural district. There is one tweet from your staff report. After speaking with the applicant, you narrowed down the hours of operation. It would be 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Saturday, closed on Sunday. The commission may want to consider adverse impacts, traffic entering and exiting property, dust increase in traffic, visibility of outdoor storage areas, although our site visit revealed extremely tidy site. I just want to say that. It's a very well organized site. Mr. Jennings is here tonight answering any questions that you may have, and I'll be happy also to answer any questions.
In the TRC meeting, did the department have to say something about the drainage or septic system or something of that nature?
The health department stated that the drain field is about 36 years old,
utility only consists of two lines, and so now we require this 100% reserve area. So basically, they, as a precautionary measure, they recommend a licensed soil consultant check to make sure that the soil is suitable when, if they wanted to upgrade the facility or add a restroom.
Okay, I have a motion, Mrs. Eager. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion, Mrs. Eager. Second, Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is ZMP 1502, Stephen L. Peters.
Chairman, members of the commission, ZMP 1502 is a zoning request from Stephen L. Peters, and he is requesting rezone 21.5 acres of approximately 61.95 acre site. It's in the Rob Anthony Community Planning Area, and he's requesting rezoning from agricultural to B1 Business General. This is the current zoning map. Agricultural zoning is identified in green. You see the intersection of Route 53 and Route 618, Lake Monticello Road here. Of course, part of the Lake Monticello subdivision is identified here in brown, which is R4. Aerial photography shows the again corner, which is the zone request areas right here. This is the applicant's site plan that was originally submitted with this application back on April 1st. According to the applicant, the details of this the sketch had a change. You see the proposed roundabout at the intersection of 53 and 618, as well as two additional commercial entrances off of 53, one being here, where the red dot is, and the other being on Route 618. The photographs, this is the intersection of 618-53. The roundabout were built, this would be the main entrance to the shopping center of the development. This is looking towards Charlottesville and 53. So again, it's a request to rezone 21.5 acres of the 62-acre parcel, tax map 8, section A, parcel A, 14A. It's located within the Rock Island Community planning area. The rezoning is approved. Any site development would require a major site development plan. Come back to the plan commission, review administratively as a final plan, planning office. Comprehensive plan does consider this area to be conducive to further development due to its location and proximity to transportation and residential. In conclusion, the request appears to meet the intent of the comprehensive plan. The medium and small commercial businesses, along with offices and residential uses, combined to form a series of new additional development that are interconnected with surrounding developments. Again, the network of transportation and the existing residential. Applicants stated they were working on analysis and impacts to the existing intersection. If the roundabout were not to be built, the planning commission should consider how the request does not align with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan. Motion is on your screen tonight, and I would also like to add Mr. Wood from the Virginia Department of Transportation is here tonight, as long as Mr. Shump, the applicant. If you do have any specific transportation questions with regard to this development, I also be happy to answer your questions here.
I see that they talked about the possibility of what would happen if there wasn't a roundabout built. But I specifically asked in the last meeting what they would be, and I don't see anything about whether there's going to be any turn lanes or any way to mitigate entrance and exit on either road. As far as backup for traffic and so forth like that, knowing that this intersection has had fatalities in the past, I'm just wondering what type of, if we're talking about this roundabout, is a hope. It's not a fact and a promise that if, what will happen if it comes about. So I'm just wondering what happens if it doesn't come about. How can we judge about the safety and welfare of the people of Savannah as far as this intersection goes?
I think VDOT stated that surely the roundabout would be the best option. I think there's some questions as to how the roundabout will materialize, and the applicant has, in the latest information, has outlined possible options. Signalization being one of those options. Again, I think the preferred method of access to this development would be a roundabout, and they have proffered, the latest proffered statement that is in your packet, dated August 20th, 2015. And signed by the applicant, Peters, to offer dedication of property specifically for the construction of the roundabout. However, there is a stipulation that if funds for the roundabout steps that need to be taken to make that happen are completed in 3 years, and the problem is that they can depend on the employee. So it does pose a remaining question as to who would be responsible for the facilitation of making the roundabout a reality in that location. And that question I would defer to Mr. Schimp and Mr. Norbert. Yeah.
Is there a time frame for that to build the roundabout plan? Do we have a time frame?
I'm not aware of a specific time frame. They have proffered 5 years. They have a proffer of 2 sentences. The first sentence is 3 years. The second sentence is 5 years. So staff is not entirely clear either what the implications are with the written proffer. And so again, I'll defer interpretation of that proffer to Mr. Shen. I hope it gets a verification tonight.
Anybody else have any questions for Mr. Togo? Because I'd like to have asked Mr. Wood some questions about this, concerning this. Can we ask you? I noticed that you sent us a letter about this intersection. I think the first sentence probably is missing one word, but because it says currently VDOT does have plans for a project to build around there at this location. I think it probably does be does not.
I don't have a okay. I've read it does not every time before.
Because the rest of the sentence is not our intent to do so unless it is deemed appropriate and the funding is available. It goes down further and says the current analysis for phase one portion of development up to 20,000 square feet, the analysis shows development will impact existing traffic traveling through the location and further degrade the level of service well beyond the acceptable level. And so it goes on and talks about the roundabout improvements and so forth like that. I know a roundabout will be a good thing, so like that. I do know that VDOT has plans for a turn lane, but I understand there's problems with getting the easements because of a conservation easement to a piece of property located there.
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay. I noticed in one of the things that they said something about the average traffic daily is 6,900 vehicles per day on that, and 3,100 as well as our rumor on 618. Although I read something yesterday that said something about 8,000 vehicles per day, but that other was from 2014.
Gas being cheaper and the economy has somewhat picked up, I'm sure traffic numbers are probably rising again because when we had the big crash in 08, traffic numbers had dipped way down. I'm sure they're probably starting to recover somewhat. Back up.
Are there lots of safety problems with Route 53?
In different locations, there's been some spot improvements here and there, particularly in the Albemarle area. But
yeah, I noticed in Albemarle, the federal government has funded 4 different safety projects, one at Route 20, one at the entrance to Monticello, one at Kenwood, and the newest one is going to be at the turn lane going into Milton Road there.
Yes, sir.
And so like that. I was just wondering, you know, what the amount of safety projects that the federal government has funded for 53, there must be some real concerns about the traffic. And of course, when you get down to this particular thing, it's one of the largest developments around, with 40% of the population of Savannah in this very area. Would it, and I think that you said that they would probably have to have some turn lanes in.
That's correct. About the roundabout, they look at evaluating the need for widening up turn lanes and entrances. And of course, they have to have intersection site distance that has to be established as well for non-available and site even grading. And as far as the roundabout, like, you know, so currently VDOT does not have plans or project to go around about that location. That would have to be something locality. You have to initiate it, develop, initiate. And of course, VDOT does have funding for that. It has to be funded, it has to be found.
And I know it's not in our 5-year plan, but right now and so forth, right?
No.
The funding from the, I know that y'all have had some ongoing conversations about funding possibilities for this. What does that look like into the future? I mean, they're talking about it. If it's not approved within 3 years, then they would drop everything else. And then if construction wasn't started in 5 years, then everything would be dropped. My main concern is, if we don't have a roundabout, then we've got to have some definite way of thing to know about entrance and exit on this piece of property because of the safety there. And I know that there has been fatalities at this intersection. Without the roundabout, without improvements, how far down is it degraded? What type of backup on 53 or anything like that do you think we would have because of this?
Yeah, I entered the evaluation of the traffic impact analysis, and I'm not specifically sure that you just said it would degrade the situation, you know, would be worse than what it is right now. As far as options to do something, you know, I did mention in there the revenue sharing program will be ahead, and that's something the county could look into. Joel Renunzio, the residency administrator, would be a good source to find out how much money is available out there to match up to. And I know before, the value of donated right away has been used in the past on some of those employees, helping match the county match. And the other option is initiating a new project, but we know that takes quite a while. House Bill 2 that's out there, they're evaluating project very competitively based on a number of different criteria. And so that puts even some projects we already had during the work early days back in the hopper to be reevaluated to see if they'll even go forward. So just, I could give you a time frame, but, you know, that seems like a pretty aggressive time schedule based on experience I've had on the VDOT project.
That's one of my thoughts.
You know enough about that competitive process to give us a rough guess of how this project would stack up competitively? High, moderate, no chance?
I don't
put you on the spot, and I can tell by looking at your face, you might not want to answer.
I haven't been through the process yet.
Okay.
I know each district that gets set the bottom money is competing. You take like Fluvanna, Louisa, Green, we're competing against in Gulfport District, even like Fall Pier, Warrington area. So when you look at some of the traffic columns they have up there, and start talking about 20,000 vehicles a day on one little road, it makes me wonder how we'll fare when you're dealing with that kind of number in the Northern Virginia area.
In other words, you're talking about, you said that the 3-year to 5-year timeline was kind of aggressive.
I believe it's very aggressive.
Anybody have any more questions? Mr. Wood.
What about the process of putting a stoplight in there? And my issue is development processes, but as we mentioned, several fatalities have occurred there. We just had one just a few weeks ago, just a little further down the road. Between that gap, that sort of straight gap, heading down the road toward the church of Zag, it's very curvy, and there are a couple of very dangerous exits, not just that one, on the Monastery, and then at church of Zag itself. And the speed limit, so you know, either a roundabout or a stoplight could serve to, you know, reduce the speed of travelers on that road, which is usually around 60-65 miles an hour. I know personally two people have been killed on that stretch of road. It's becoming a real concern in the community.
Yeah, traffic signal warrants analysis is required, and that would meet certain warrants to be addressed by traffic signal. And I don't know if that's actually been done to the signal, but again, Joel Nante will be the one that you request that too, and he would make the request to traffic engineering to conduct that study. And I'm not, it could have already been done, I'm not sure if that or not. I know that's the protocol, go through Joel Nante.
VDOT standpoint, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the read here is 20,000 square feet, which you want your base your analysis on development. From your standpoint, would not need any changes here?
Oh, it would need entrance improvement.
The consensus would be great.
No, I'm just asking, we're going to approve this and board approve this, what we have to do to satisfy VDOT's requirements, and that would be line of sight analysis and some turn lanes.
That's correct.
So this would be, if it was estimated to be approximately a $2 million project for the roundabout, or do you know that figure? I'm just...
Frankel before he retired, and he's done a lot of budgeting on this.
Yeah.
And he said the $2 million was a good number, a good safe number to use.
And in that same realm, the county would have to contribute 10% of that. So they would probably have to contribute $200,000.
Yes, sir.
But you mentioned the land we use as a portion of
it. I know it wasn't on a school project previously. I was about 6 or 7 years ago.
About 6 years ago.
I was something out of the floor.
But the problem is there is in this proper, it doesn't talk about actually dedicating it to the county and then the county using it. So that was a question I have later on when I talk to Mr. Schiff. Anybody else have any more questions for Mr. Wood? Thank you.
All right. Appreciate your point at the table. Yeah.
Mr. Shepard, would you like to come forward with this hat?
Yes, sir. Thank you. My name is Justin Shen. I'll go right into your questions that were heard here, since you all know this project pretty well by now. One thing that's very clear is that all of our new entrances on 53 or 618 would have to meet turn lane warrant, sight distance, regardless of any prop or not. So there's nothing you do here would change that effect. So BGO, our plan, the concept plan, if you want to have that up there, the ideal world for us is this roundabout be constructed, because then sort of the main entrance of the roundabout, that's good for everybody. But in the event it's not, we'll have to go down some distance, probably 500 feet away from the intersection to meet the spacing standards and have an entrance with a right turn lane, left turn lane, whatever VDOT warrants that are being warranted at the time. So the only thing in question here really is about improvements to the 53-618 intersection itself. Because we'll have to do improvements on 53 or 618 for entrance regardless. For any, whether that be with A1 by right here, whether you did a commercial or industrial, whatever zone, that's applicable. The trouble that I talked with the regional planner after our last meeting about this comments, and the big problem he had, it was a fair point, was that in the prior problem, we had said, okay, 20,000 square feet is the max, unless the roundabout gets built, or we build a left turn lane out of 618 on 53, so off-site improvement. But we did not provide analysis of what that looked like, the full build-out. So they didn't have a thing to compare that to. And it may be that if this full build-out, more than just a left turn, is warranted, maybe a roundabout is necessary. What we've done to simplify the situation here is that we won't build over 20,000 square feet, period, unless a roundabout's there. So if this is approved and no roundabout is ever built, we're stuck at 20,000 square feet. We'll have to come back at that point and do another analysis and say, okay, if the roundabout's never been built here, at that point the developer will figure out, well, we have to do a traffic signal, what would be the impacts of further.
No, my question is this. Already VDOT says with the 20,000 square feet, there's going to be a degrading of the traffic there. How are you going to control traffic coming from Charlottesville, turning on to 618 to get into, to be able to go into this area? Could you have traffic backup across into 53, out 53, into 618. How would we mitigate that?
Well, there shouldn't be any, really the spacing standards are there to prevent that from happening, right? So that would mean a backup of 500 feet of traffic, and there's no expectation of that, especially from 20,000 square feet. We want to make sure it's clear. We're talking about development of maybe 4 acres to this property.
Well, so that's a little bit less.
You all approved other 4 or 5 acre commercial industrial zones without, you know, worrying about this. It's pretty small scale. And the point we want to make is that what we're trying to accomplish here is to set a path to build this roundabout. It really puts pressure on the landowner and on VDOT and the county. You say, okay, we've got a visible solution here. If we all move forward together, this gets done. Well, the traffic signal helps, you know, flow and things like that, but isn't necessarily safe. That's not really slowing people down. Someone tries to run the light and hit somebody. That's not really improving. The roundabout's a big safety improvement.
If you could give me some perspective, so this is a conceptual model. I understand that. The shaded area there is 21 and a half acres. So show me the buildings on there that would at least conceptually represent 20,000 square feet. What does that look like? I assume that's full build out, roughly, conceptually.
So, you know, probably we're envisioning this corner, right? And I can give you a reference to, we just did a doctor's office site plan down there at that's a 9,000 square foot building, doctor's office.
So a couple of
the CVS there is about 6,000 square feet. So we're talking maybe 3 buildings what we're trying to get in. But we're trying to get some commercial development going. This spot is good for it. But if the requirement is to build a roundabout to develop 2 pad sites, we just can't do it. It'd be better off doing residential high-rise subdivision and moving on. It can't be done. It's not feasible. So we're trying to say, okay, give us a little tease. Let's get some businesses in here. Get some traction to the area. Get a way to build a roundabout. And then, if that's done, then we can expand. So if we say, if it's not done, we'll have to revisit the issue and develop our potential solution on our own.
So the current plan is to use all of that for commercial space, right?
Yes. All 21 and a half acres. So it would just be built on sparsely until the roundabout was constructed.
Another question is, and it's probably not the actual way, but in a way it seems backwards to me, the fact that almost because you've got a proposal here to the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors would have to have a proposal about this roundabout before anything could actually be done. So I wonder if it wouldn't have been better to go to the Board of Supervisors about trying to get this solved, whether they would even entertain the idea of doing something with VDOT on that. Because, like I said earlier, from what I'm reading, this is all on the hope and the promise. You're promising to do something and hoping the roundabout comes. My main question on the traffic thing was the fact that, depending on the type of businesses, that you might not have that much traffic. But say, for instance, you built a service station and a convenience store or something of that type, the traffic there would be tremendous because the in and out at some of these convenience store service stations is really, really a lot. Now, my question is, we have school buses coming down through there. We have all kinds of traffic. If you have a lot of in and out traffic there for something of that type, the danger and the degrading of that intersection would be tremendous.
Well, I agree with that. Explanation for one. Remember anything, so if you submit a plan for the service station or the gas station that has a high traffic, that's not really pulling people from all over the county to its spot, right? It's people who are driving by there already. There's a few extra people. There's certainly a turn lane issue, right?
You don't think you'd be drawing people from inside Lake Monticello?
Well, they're going to be on their way to Charlottesville back wherever they travel.
So in other words, if you're not thinking you're going to draw people from Fluvanna County and you're only going to get people doing driving by, so why would you want to have a business?
A lot of people drive by there. That's the...
Where are most of them from?
People who are driving by. I see most of them in Fluvanna around Lake Monticello. And there's just not a lot of business location that's on 53 that has this visibility that we think could attract some good business. And that's the tricky thing about commercial and traffic studies, right, is that they always say all these people are going to block this business. And maybe you can put a Walmart in. That's right. But when you look at retail business and service businesses, they're catering to people that are already there. The reason for the attraction to the site is because there are people there.
I think a comparable example would be, for example, the Sheets that's out in Fredericksburg, where you're turning on 20. That's probably a comparable example. You have Route 3 and then you have Route 20, and you have a fair amount of subdivision out there. In that particular situation, it's a little wider road for certain, but they also have flashing yellow lights to let you know when it's an intersection that's coming up.
Right, 3 would be a lot more. That's probably 30,000 trips per day or 40,000, not 6,000, 7,000.
Also, in that property, you talked about the 3-year and 5-year thing, and Mr. Woods is telling us that that would be very aggressive. He doesn't even think that basically that's possible because of the lots of projects that are ahead of this.
Well, we designed this property in a way to help encourage us to make a decision to do it or not. And certainly I think if the commission said, well, we could recommend this, but we think it should have a 5-year window or some longer window, that's probably not at all unreasonable. But we were a little hesitant to leave it open-ended forever because this is a good project. This benefits more people than just us, this roundabout. So, and I want to clarify also, the proper was specifically designed so that if the DDOT approves the funding in 3 years, maybe that's too aggressive, then maybe it's too lengthy a little bit. The land is dedicated to the county, so the county can use it as part of the contribution. So the county owns the land. Because this is not, we talked to DDOT about this, and really, developers can't initiate cost-sharing things, highway safety, that's gonna come from the locality. So our goal is to say, here's an opportunity, here's 10% of the value here of this land.
But the proffer says dedication to VDOT. It doesn't say dedication to the county, right? I thought it said substantive to a request by the.
No, to line 3 and 4. The owner shall dedicate land to the county to the land along the front of the hospital.
What page do we
catch? 41.
Yep, so dedicate land to the county to that.
Okay.
And just to be clear, I know there's an issue with easement across the road there. For you to be dedicating land, the entire land for the roundabout, which would also necessitate some dedication of land to redirect 618 and 53 probably. Some sense.
In our analysis, that all basically by shifting the roundabout onto our property and dedicating more of our land, it can all be done on our parcel. Yeah. And that land is unencumbered by any easements and things, so we would be dedicating the land.
Yeah, that's what I want to make sure that's what the map looks like. Okay.
That's right.
Nobody have to worry about what's across 618 and across 63.
It fixes that problem with the easement part that turn. Now, remember, the VDOT's already signed $1 million of highway safety improvement funds to the site. That's dedicated towards that. So I know they do move, this load at the organization, but I have to think there's an opportunity here to make a drastic improvement for not that much money and no, kind of big problem with projects surviving acquisition. That takes years. And we're saying, okay, here it is. The county already has a hold of this. You guys went through the project, the county just takes the land and turns it over. So that saves a lot of time.
So what did, when you went to VDOT about this, what did they say to you that funding, when funding might be available, the prospects of it, is the three-year thing realistic? What type of projects would be ahead of it?
We didn't just, we didn't discuss that in great detail. We discussed it with the project control manager, who is the contact with the supervisor that wants to go down this track. And he advised the HD2 funding and higher safety improvement funding, but you really have to have a submittal date. They don't really deal in hypotheticals. I understand that. So that's, I think that's the county half request that. They didn't say you got a 50-50 shot, you got a 100% shot or something like that.
Mr. Chairman, if
Mr.
are you willing to dedicate that land immediately? Because thus the county has possession of it. I don't know how it can negotiate
with the I think by virtue of the property, got possession of it for 3 years as written. Again, that would be within the year or two. I don't know if that's an issue. But essentially, once the zoning is approved, we are in obligation to provide that land to the county the moment the funding is approved. Or it's in the letter to us, and we have to pay for the cost of subdivision, deeding it over.
Maybe Mr. Wood can address whether that's sufficient. I don't know if you can or not.
Excuse me, I'm going to right.
Would be just the mere fact that the proffer exists, that if this is approved, they will dedicate the land to the county, would that be good enough to count as the county's in-kind contribution to this project?
It
without us actually having possession of the land.
Yeah, when I worked with Louisiana County School Board about 208 for a school entrance to the left and right turn lane, that's what they allowed the dedication of that right of way to be used as a cost share. As part of the county contribution, they're 10%.
And what, I guess my question is though, would they accept it based on the proffer and move forward and approve the project?
You'd have to talk to the funding for
that's what I figured that was a little esoteric question, but just wanted to check.
But you do say that the 3 years is probably stretching it.
Based on my experience, it was there.
Even the construction in 5 years would probably be stretching it.
Based on the project I've seen.
How long it would have been working on this roundabout that year?
First heard about in 2006. Or 2007.
And we've approved money for that, right? And so that 2006, we're talking about 9 years.
And in the meantime, just before the roundup comes, you have to put in 500 feet of permit to get into the business, correct?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, let me say one thing about this in terms of timing, and that is when the site plan comes in, it's going to be dependent on what's there. So if the roundabout isn't there or if a reality in terms of the funding of the dedication, that kind of thing, then the site plan would be designed to go around that. If it's not, then the site plan would have to contemplate whatever improvements would be needed if the roundabout weren't there. So Mrs. Eager's comment is relevant to that. And if let's say 6 months from now, then the rezoning is approved, but the funding hasn't been allocated for the roundabout, then when the site plan comes in my hypothetical 6 months, the design would have to show what are turn lanes and spacing would be needed in the absence of the roundabout. So if the roundabout came in later, then the site plan would have to be amended. Now, I think you could very well require the site plan to be designed to accommodate the roundabout if it were in the way that Mr. Schiff just said, so that you'd have to shift the roundabout on the property so that it would be there if it became available within the time period.
So it's possible that the roundabout could be office space using 500-foot turn lanes software, we don't have the land that the county does.
Right, that sounds like a sort of a concern, the timing. If the collective feeling is that it needs to be a little longer, I don't think that's an issue for us. If it's indefinite, you know, forever, that's a little bit of a concern. There is motivation on everyone's part to get this done. It's a good idea. But 3 years is too short, and that could be proposed to be lengthened a little bit.
If there's $1 million already dedicated by VDOT to that area?
Yes.
$935,000 or something.
Right. So the left turn lane, I think they probably can't build because of that.
And the easement, I mean, the property is specific to the roundabout, so you wouldn't be granting easement if they decided they wanted to put a turn lane in there. And you have to do that by definition. Pretty much, because you can't put the roundabout in for probably 10 years. You're not going to wait on the project for 10 years. We have to put something in for people turning around. So it seems to me it would be dedicating a chunk of that land off of that towards the road, right?
Yes, that may be sort of separate of the roundabout issue is if we have to put our own turn lanes in, right? It'll all be on our side of the road. And then we'd have to dedicate some land on our own, you know, property, say 500 feet down. It'll be an immediate dedication rather than a pending approval. That'll be tied to the site.
I'm going to ask Mr. Wood a question. If the roundabout did not come back, or even if construction came about, there would have to be a turn lane on 618 and one on 53 past 618 to turn in up there?
Yes, I'm certain the numbers would require turn lanes on both roads. And one thing I would suggest is get some clarification from a Chuck Proctor, our planner, because before Brent Sprinkle, he did a lot of funding. I'd asked him about, you know, the possibility of moving the money from the turn lane project to meet out ahead up there to the highway safety improvements. And he said he didn't think that was possible on some of the money that's been on time. So I would get some clarification from somebody that can handle the funding and get meet out.
So there may be no money currently set aside for a roundabout, right?
But that's apparently, he said that's for turn lanes, not a roundabout. It'd be a totally different proposal. So I asked him about the money, but I would get some clarification.
What about
Chuck Proctor and the district?
If it ends up being turn lanes and you know, the site goes into place, what's the probability of at least having a flashing yellow light? What's required to make that happen?
Again, I think it'd be a traffic study would be required to flash a light in that might be eventually a full signal based on some traffic counts or other triggers that would happen.
If I could interject, we would imagine, let's say we get 20,000 square feet on three businesses, right? And then it just becomes apparent the roundabout's not being filled. At that point, we would come back and do a study like that and say, okay, what needs to be done for our development only? The roundabout is overkill for our development only. So if you know the numbers, you wouldn't need that. But if you do want to put a grocery store there, right? That's kind of an alternate grocery store site. That's going to draw enough traffic that something else would need to be done. So that might be the flashing light, might be the signal, like the other safety improvements. We determined that when we came back to the commission of the board to allow them to draw the project.
There's, and I don't know if Mr. Wood might know this, or nobody might not know this. What type of backup at, say, 4, 5, 6 o'clock area do we have coming from Charlottesville to 618? In that time frame in the afternoon when the main part of traffic comes from Charlottesville to go back into there?
I've never been there during that time frame, but I've had been there pretty substantial if all the commuters come back from Charlottesville.
And would a commercial development add to this probably, according to your thing about, would that be one of the things that would degrade this intersection, this track back up with traffic?
That's right. The peak hour when you've got all the commuters coming in and out of the commercial area, that would increase the peak numbers in and out of the intersections, and that's where we get the degradation from.
Does anybody else have any other questions for Mr. Shemp? I got more questions I got to ask you. public hearing at this time for this item here. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward to the microphone at this time and state your name and address, please. Anyone else would like to make a comment? Please come forward and state your name and address. If there's no one else wishing to come forward at this time, we'll end the public hearing and go into discussion with the Planning Commission.
Do you have a zoning permit? Would you really be one allowed to?
Any discussion we need to have among the Planning Commission? Well, I'll tell y'all, I have some very concerns about this, mainly about the traffic. And I'm very much a person that's in favor of businesses, so forth, and the county needs businesses, but I'm worried about the danger possibly could have, and not really knowing, and that was a question I asked last time, how would we do, if the roundabout was never built, how would we control traffic there? We've got a lot of ideas, we've got a lot of suppositions, but I just have a major concern.
But I think that one of the challenges is, you know, that we already have a lot of traffic in that area to begin with, and without any impetus to put in, you know, to actually make some changes there, and some of the challenges that are already there, we're likely to continue to see that the problems exist. I don't see this so much as a, especially when we're talking about 20,000 square feet, that's its full maximum build-out as necessarily something that's going to add dramatically to the traffic, depending on the type of businesses there. But I see it as adding an improvement to the road, either by the fact that you're putting in a turn lane, adding to the fact that there is a business growth happening there as well too, which in turn might change some of the factors that VDOT might look at, and then having the buffer in place for the roundabout and for the easements in itself makes it a little bit easier for VDOT to actually go ahead and look to make improvements in that area. Some of the challenges they currently face. So,
what are you concerned
for me,
about?
I would see one of two things: an extension of the proper period of time. We can't control whether VDOT does or doesn't. We shouldn't make it the onus on the business and on the property owner to do that. But the other thing too is that in the worst case scenario, they're going to have to commit to turn lanes. They're going to have to commit to 500 feet in advance to slow traffic down in both areas. And that, I think, is going to help be an improvement. Certainly, I can see the 20,000 square feet as potentially making it worse. I see it making it better.
So if you put a sheet, you don't think the traffic would be...
I think if you put a sheet there, you're going to get a very different response to begin with. But you already have, I commute on that road, there's lots of people who commute on that road. The people that are going to be using that sheet are the ones that are already going to be turning from there. They're already going to be leaving out of there. So I don't really see it as a place where you're going to be accumulating a whole lot more traffic. Personally, I don't think a sheet is going to put itself right there at this point in time. But, you know, maybe they will. You have now three exits coming out of there instead of really one. Say, you know, the exit coming out of the side, the exit coming out of 53, and then of course you have to stop in the intersection at 53 itself. So, you know, I would at the very least hope that I don't know how many times you have to say to VDOT this area is a problem, and what get them to recognize that we need to make some changes there. But it's a problem, and creating some density and making some changes in that is momentum for. And I can see your point, and I think you raised some excellent questions about it. But in the long run, if we're going to say that we can't change because we're concerned about it and we don't have a plan for making it better, I don't know that we're going to make it better. I mean, we're going to continue to see some growth happening there. We're going to continue to see commuting traffic to that area. And we're going to continue to see fatalities.
One of my concerns is it's not interesting, it's an exit. For instance, you came out of that property to go on 53 and turn left to go to Power Hour. If the traffic was backed up there in the afternoon like that, what type of situation would you have? That traffic, except for the traffic going towards Shawsville, you could get out of there pretty easily, but that could be, that 4 to 6 o'clock could be a bad situation, and you could have people trying to get out of there and then be in line of traffic coming from 53 the other way. You also, with the fact of coming out on the 618, going one of the directions, it could be a difficulty. I do worry that the fact the way that the proper is written could cause some problems in the future because of the fact of limiting it to 3 years. 5 years, depending on.
Yeah, I'd like to see that extended for certain. I think that, you know, extending that buffer just based on the timeline makes a lot of sense. But I also wonder what the property owner would do with that land in the meantime as well, if they're already constricted to 20,000 square feet, at least based on the site plan. If that property is extended, they will have already maxed out at 20,000 square feet. So I don't see where they have any practical use for that land beyond that. I mean, I can understand that from a business perspective, you're going to come and say that we don't want to just by right give that to the county. Maybe why they're hanging their fence, but I also don't see what they're practically going to do with it. Yeah, by the time that you buy the return rate and so on, so. But that's for them to decide.
Right, but I also think that, you know, based on what we've heard tonight, a much more practical number is much more like 10 than 5 or a year or 2 or something like that. It seems like it's pretty significant to have a reasonable amount of certainty this project can get done. It's not, you know,
and we also talk about the fact that would they have to put these turn lanes into space that they're dedicating for a future roundabout, at least the one on 53, or maybe both of them, depending on what we're at. So,
well, not if their entrance is, you know, well back to the intersection, like that seems to show that they probably.
So, how far back what we're talking about with the roundabout. To get into the shopping center. In other words, say for instance, if they constructed an entrance prior to a roundabout, and then that was decided to be a roundabout, how would they dedicate that part of the land to the county for VDOT to use if they're already using it as a turn? Do you understand my question, Mr. Sherman?
Yes, sir, I do. I think I'll repeat it. I'm not sure I got it. We're saying, let's say, for example, we put our entrance in 500 feet down the road and have some construction that overlaps the roundabout, right? That we somehow prevent the roundabout from being built later, the basic concern.
Yes.
All right. But for one, if you're 500 feet away, the only thing happening down around that roundabout is maybe a foot or two of pavement widening for a pavement, you know, for turn lane. And that can very easily be torn up and redone as a roundabout. So there's really nothing that we're doing in the right of way as far as the entrances out to the roundabout that even come close to the area. And I also just note, you know, while I'm here, as far as the entrances coming out and safety, I'm pretty sure the site distance required for our new entrances is going to be better than what's there, you know, already.
So in other words, you would leave enough space there before you built any building where the roundabout could actually be installed?
Yes.
So the buildings would be set back far enough from 53 and 618 so that the encompassing of the roundabout would be, so how much land would that roundabout take from this 27 acres?
That label here or not. I believe it's around an acre and a half to the easements. So we would be governed by our application plan, which basically shows this alignment, and then we would have to have all our structures set back. Construction and whatever improvements we propose VDOT will look at that and make sure they weren't adversely impacting that on site plan review.
And what you need, we need willing to extend the proper number of years for dedication.
Well, yes, and I think that's, you know, that's a reasonable for 7 years. Again, I.
But we don't designate that and say, to the county until we not say, okay, we're willing to do this. Does that work for it?
Sure.
Mr. Peters keeps the land in that, because he doesn't give it over to Humana tomorrow or a few months from now. And when he got then gets approved to do this and wants to do it, then they would dedicate the land to the county.
That's what the proper said.
Okay.
It's like part of the proper says that construction has to start with a certain period of time. I think that part of the proper really doesn't make a lot of sense, because once it's dedicated, now it's in the hands of the VDOT.
And that's a good point. I didn't think about that in the reading. Probably that part can go, because really once they approve the funding of it, it's not really right to say, well, you know, if your environmental study runs 6 months over, we're cutting it off. You know, if they're going to do it, then we can give them time to do it. I think the concern on our part is that there's not some sort of out window. It'll just kind of get the can kicked down the road, and I don't think that's good for anybody.
Mr. Payne, what is proper written? Can we, not knowing what Mr. Peters would say about this, about extending it, if we did this with this proffer, we would be obligated to this proffer way it's written, right?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
We cannot, in other words, the board can't pass this with the condition that
the board, let's say you were to recommend this or not, and it goes to the board with this being the proper. The board cannot say, we don't like this, but we'll modify the proper so it says 10 years instead of 3.
Which board? This board?
The board of supervisors.
No, we're asking about, in other words, I think what, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe what he's saying is, can they recommend a vote right now on the condition that the proffer be extended to 5 years and the second proffer be eliminated as an example?
No, they couldn't do that. What they could do is they could deny it, recommend denial with a qualifier that he would have recommended it had the time for the dedication to extend it from 3 years to 10. These are not my numbers, I'm just using the ones that go up in discussion.
Commission doesn't deny it, commission recommends it.
We make a recommendation, right?
Now, what would have to happen then is the applicant would have to amend the proper for the board years.
If he chose to.
Well, if he wants to comply with the commission's recommendation. Right. Or he could do that. I mean, he's heard you now on this issue. He could revise it tonight, or you could ask for a deferral of that issue. You know, if he needs to think about it or recalculate it or whatever, recommend it not, he could ask for a deferral to the next meeting, and then either say, I want it up and down the way it is, or I'm willing to amend it as, you know, as follows.
I think that's been deferred once, though.
Yes. As long as it's done, but if it's requested, the applicant will make the difference. But the point about this is, if you're confirming an application that's subject to proffers, you take the proffers as they are. They have to be voluntary by the applicant. You can express your opinion that this proffer would be better if it did such and such. But you can't say, okay, we'll approve this, but we're going to amend the proffer to say something different than what it said.
And that would have to be done. The new property would be have to be done inside of Mr. Peters.
Yeah.
It couldn't be, but the chef said, well, we could do this. But,
well, if it was done tonight, because Mr. Peters, he...
But he's not here tonight.
Well, you have authority to do a land cross?
Oh, they have that. I don't think they have that invited. But I know if the issue is, that's the one issue.
But you have expressed authority. You're not sure what's in writing. But if Mr. Peters had said, you have authority to amend the property if necessary, if you say that, then I think you do that.
Yes.
If you say, I think you would approve this, that's what I'd say about you. I'm pretty safe.
I think it's not an issue for us. If it's a clear issue of, well, this should be 8 or 10, whatever it is. Would the commission recommend denial of that specific reason, and simply we would have the opportunity to change the prop to the board meeting, and if we comply with the commission request, the board would be like, okay, well, they heard the issue and they fixed it. And if Mr. Peters did not want to do that, I don't have to comply with that, then...
I'm sure the plan is that.
So, based on what Mr. Shin has said, what I think we have the option of doing is either approve it the way it is, I'm talking about recommendations for approval. Recommend approval the way it is. Recommend denial the way it is. Recommend denial subject to a notation that you would consider more favorably had the time for the dedication been extended. And if you put a year on that, it would be helpful for the supervisors. Or defer it. And give the applicant an opportunity to talk with Mr. Peters.
We can also defer ourselves.
That's what I did to say. I think you have any of those four options. But I would not recommend, and I'm going to be unfair to Mr. Schimpf. I would not take this tonight. I'd want to make sure I had unequivocal authority from my client. I don't think you can rely on the proposition that if you recommend approval as amended tonight, that the applicant would be bound to that.
Well, I think you and I have a discussion.
Yes.
I'm not very, we all know that we can't make it.
Right here. Yeah.
There's a lot of questions in this. Just like what you just did. Traffic is a big red flag. That is, if we can change current traffic, Mr. Bryan's made a pretty compelling argument that if anything, it might help a little bit, because at least some enhanced things like the turn lanes and things like that, with the opportunity for a future roundabout. But we also know that the numbers given here in Crawford are wildly optimistic. Those numbers. So those properties, as they stand now, are actually not giving anybody any benefit because they can't be there. So, I think you want that at this time. I think we should certainly strongly consider showing some amount of favorability. So I don't know if you can approve it. I can't approve it as it is, but just given the those limitations on the property.
So we've had
around that 34.
Basically, what I'm hearing here. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. We're hearing that we need to either deny for a fact that we don't think the proffer is reasonable and it should not have that short time framework. Or we could defer it to our September meeting and give Mr. Schimpf and Mr. Peters time to redo this proffer in a way that would be acceptable not only to us but possibly to the board of supervisors, because any cost eventually, there's maybe no cost because we might get the land to be able to do it, would be on the shoulders of the board of supervisors.
I think there's two things that I would add to that is, one, I know it's going to be raised because I know the not happening, she's going to be trying to make some changes with regard to, you know, speeds on 53. So that's going to be brought to the attention for that, you know, we really got to try to do something to address the fatalities that are happening in that stretch of road. And so given that, I would say that the board is certainly going to be very looking very favorably at opportunities to slow traffic down in that area and to move in that direction. And having a tool such as, you know, land being granted would help the board to, you know, try to push that process forward and say to the how do we get this done, how do we work to make this partnership happen. So I think that's going to be pretty strong incentive for us from that standpoint. Can't speak for the rest of the board members, but I know that you know, this is a concern in the mayor that happened. I know that, of course, the board is in favor of business and this is an ideal type of corner. If the planning commission wants to hear this again with a new proffer, that fits in, of course, your business from that standpoint, but I think that a proffer that states that the term is expanded to, say, 8 years for the first proffer. The second offer is to be open entirely. Because once the land is deeded, it really seems to me that it's a done deal at that point in time, which would probably suffice to meet your concerns. This is my thoughts.
Well, I think you said 8 years. We're already 9 years, and this one's down here.
No, once what I'm saying is it's 8 years for the process to start. That's the first offer. The process has to start with. The second proffer says, as it currently stands, it says 3 years or 5 years. The second proffer says that construction needs to begin. What I'm suggesting is that you simply eliminate that proffer once the land is deeded, you know, that is deeded at that point in time, whether it takes 10, 15, or 20 years, it doesn't matter at that point in time because the landowner doesn't own that property. Landowner may decide that they don't want to do that, and that's entirely their business. That's up to them. So. That would be the kind of recommendation I think the board would see pretty favorably and save you time.
That's a rational, certainly a rational approach to it, but that illustrates why, if you want to do that, you'd be better off trying to give the applicant an opportunity to work out all the details so that everybody knows exactly what you're talking
about. Just expedite the process.
Anybody else got any more discussion on this? If not, we're going to have to go to some type of recommendation, or motion, and if it's technical and somewhat, we may have to ask Mr. Payne to help us with it.
Well, my suggestion would be, I think it's pretty clear what the commission is saying. I think Mr. O'Brien's suggestion is consistent with what I've heard the other members of the commission say. But there are some details that it needs to be worked out. My suggestion would be to ask the applicant if the applicant is willing to ask for a referral for a month to work out the details with respect to the timing of this dedication. If the applicant's not willing to do that, then you can defer it yourself. But it will be on your motion now. Or you can go ahead and take whatever action is perfect.
Mr.
Schultz,
can I ask you, would you be willing to defer it for a month?
No. Our preference would be for you to vote it down. That's the path. You want to approach yourself as you can. But it sounds to me like there could be a consensus of 8, and whatever number is, and that is the recommendation that Mr. Payne has spelled out. We can choose to go to the board with that number. But that way we know what the number of the planning commission feels reasonable. If I come back to the proffer next time without the opportunity to speak to you all individually, I mean, I don't know what the reasonable number is. You know, as I see it, everyone's here. If there's a consensus on a number, it can be voted on with that number as the reason for denial in moving the second part of the proffer to then it can move on to the board, and if you can comply with that, the board can feel like you listen to the commission and make the appropriate changes.
You can do that, but here again, there's a number, I think the devil could end up being the details, and there are a number of details that you don't have to look at. And there's an 8-year number, a 10-year number.
But how would we express what we think is a good proffer in a motion?
That's the problem. you could try to do that, but that doesn't mean the applicant's going to do it.
Oh, I understand. But that would be a part of the record when this went to the board. If I were to make a motion denying it, because I feel like the proffer, the more reasonable proffer is 150 years or whatever I choose.
That's certainly reasonable.
Not trying to tell you that. So I'm going to say 150 years from my hypothetical situation. That would certainly be on record in the motion. The board would see that, whatever.
Yes.
Should we be
negotiating the proffer on record?
You're not really negotiating the record. The proffer, what you're saying is that this application, what you'd be saying is that this application, without an acceptable proffer on the subject of this dedication for the, well, let's say without an assurance that the roundabout would be built, wouldn't be in the interest of the county. You recommend denial. That issue is allowing time enough to ensure that the roundabout gets built is essential to your decision to recommend denial. It's a funny way to put it, because you're saying we don't want to do this, but we're not going to tell you you have to do something, because that wouldn't be voluntary.
Right.
But we'd be a lot better about it if you wanted to do such a thing. I think it's just a lot cleaner if the applicant had an opportunity to decide exactly what he's willing to profit.
And also, if you could talk to Mr. Peters.
Well, Mr. Peters is the applicant.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that Mr. Schimpf is telling you exactly what he thinks the reaction would be. But who knows, Mr. Peters might say, 8 years is fine, why don't we make it 12? Or he might say, 8 years is too much, 5 is it, or whatever he might say. I think it's just everybody's a lot better off if you know what the applicant is willing to do based on the commission's comments of tonight.
They can't amend the proffer when it's sent to us.
Sure. Yes, they can. And that's what I'm suggesting is that we give the opportunity to have the applicant and his development team get together in light of what
board they've been doing that in essence anyway, whether it's recorded or not.
It might be.
I mean, I guess they don't have to. So what you're saying is the risk is they don't do it, it comes to the board votes it. Override, but here's the denial, and then still decide, okay, well, that is the answer.
So just for example, what if, and I'm not suggesting that we do this, but let's just say, for whatever reason, 3 and 5 are his numbers. Despite what Mr. Schimpf thinks is reasonable, the applicant just says, these are my numbers. If you defer it, it comes back to you and says, we've talked about it, and I understand what the commission said, but we're stuck on these numbers. Take it or leave it. If he says that, then you have to decide if 3 and 5 are not reasonable numbers, we can't recommend approval. You simply recommend denial. And on the other hand, he says, Mr. O'Brien, your number was 8 and killed a second. If he says that sounds perfectly reasonable, then he can amend the proffer at that time, and your recommendation goes to the board for approval with the revised proffer. I think it's a much cleaner process. There's much less chance of any misunderstanding. That's what concerns me, is having a misunderstanding of what is actually intended, what the commission's actually recommending that. So you have all four of the options I've outlined. if this is a really serious issue to you, I think the cleanest way to do it would be to defer it and allow them to decide either that they are willing to amend the property consistent with the commission's dedicated comments presented to you again at the next meeting. On the understanding that you're not deferring it generally, you're deferring it for resolution of this one issue. So the applicant can have some certainty that it's going to get resolved the next time.
Would, if that happened, if we deferred it, would it be proper for us or the planning department to talk with VDOT and ask what a reasonable timeline?
If I were the applicant, I'd talk to VDOT.
Well, I would too, but I'm just thinking that they are the people that know how long it usually takes.
Well, let's put it this way. If staff went to VDOT and VDOT said, we think if it isn't done in 6 years, it's not going to get done. Again, making up a number. And the applicant goes to VDOT and they say the same thing. VDOT and the applicant says, let's be careful. Let's give it a little slush and instead of saying 6 years, say eight. Then we have an 8 year number. The staff can be reasonably confident it's either didn't get done or isn't going to get done in that 8 year period. You got a 2 year period of, let's say, rounding error. And you come up with a recommendation that way. So certainly, I think the staff and staff and the applicant would be talking to VDOT. I certainly would be.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, in terms of the process with VDOT, it seems to me that they've already said they didn't want to target this particular area, right? They've got some money set aside from it. There's a differential of maybe $1 million between building and terminating and setup and such versus allowing it out.
That's not true because the Woods already told us they've been part of that money already.
That's not right, though, because your $200,000 county contribution would fill that million back up.
Yeah, but the Woods already said that they've used part of that $935,000.
No, I understand that, but let's say they've used 100 of it, then you have 800,000, but the county contribution of 200,000 would build back up to the million.
Well, I have a promise of that once we can transfer over to this project.
We heard that. I understand that.
No, but I think that...
But within 6 years, you're probably going to know.
Well, I think the point being is that in working, I mean, when we go and prioritize with VDOT and say this is an area where we'd like to see that done, we work through that process. I mean, we've been talking about this area for a while. It's going to continue to be a concern. We're going to have more fatalities on that road. That's a given. And one way or another, we're going to push hard to have VDOT make some changes to that intersection. Whether it's a roundabout or a stoplight, some change would need to happen in that area. And in my opinion, that would happen well within a 6 to 8 year period when that's decided and accepted, which would be the second offer, which is no longer really good to be offered, isn't really concerning longer because now that is in place and that has to be over.
I mean, I'm just asking that. I mean, it's, you know. He can't control if that process breaks down. They did the best that they could.
Exactly right. Well, I think one thing about this is if I'm with the applicant and I went to VDOT, VDOT said, we never know. You know, we could have $1 million drop out of the sky tomorrow. But realistically, if things go the way we expect them to go, this project isn't going to be funded for 10 years. Well, then the applicant has a pretty good idea that is not going to be able to get full build out for at least 10 years. It may change its whole, if it were I'd go back and review the whole project to see whether it was feasible. So I think getting input, as Mr. Bibb is suggesting, is helpful for both sides. But at the end of the day, this part of the project is really beneficial to both sides. Beneficial to the applicant because it gives them an easier project to work with that central entrance off the roundabout. It also gives the county a better traffic circulation generally. So if that's feasible, it's better for both sides. This would appear to be.
Yeah, I still question what the applicant would be able to do with that 1 acre of land, regardless, you know, it's never passed, but that's what that's figured out. It's kind of a dead piece of land. It's,
right, and that's, that's kind of what I mean, is if it's a matter of dedicating, like you said, an acre and a half, and VDOT says, you know, this is not something that I think that Transportation Board is going to be interested in funding anytime in the next 10 years. If I were planning this project, I would have to assume then that this is a greater than 10-year project.
Except that, I mean, regardless, the applicant, it seems to me, in working with VDOT, you don't have to give over land, and that offer to give over land. No,
right, but he doesn't have to do that until another funding. And so if VDOT says funding's not going to be in place, funding's going to be in place in 6 years, or we think realistically we should either that or we'll know one way or the other. That's one if VDOT says our best guess is at least 10 years, then, you know, that makes it the applicant fine, but it gives him a different parameter.
I know this is beyond this, but it seems to me that VDOT knows they have a right of way problem. They know they have potential applicants that are willing to give them land right now. With or without a right of way, I would think they give that land to put a very permanent in the stuff. You hope and think VDOT would be smart enough to jump on that.
That's what VDOT said, they don't have the money. They don't know when they're going to be. That's exactly what they said in the package.
They're saying two things.
I don't know whether you read the package or not, but that's exactly what they said.
Yeah, but they've also said that they recognize this is an area and they're dedicated money. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. Right? They're saying we don't have what we've heard of statements saying we don't have the money. We don't, I think the clarification purposes, they do not have this designated as an area for roundabout, but they have set aside money for this area.
For a turn lane
is an improvement in my opinion. And it's still an improvement. I don't think the planning commission should plan on the fact that a roundabout would be end result. It may or may not be. Hopefully, maybe a stoplight is the end result. But in my opinion, improvements in that area are better than that.
Talking about that, if I was one of the supervisors, I'd also be trying to figure out how Alamo County got the federal government to give them grants for four places, and why not we not pursue something like that also in conjunction with this.
Well, that's part of the plan. I mean, I think that's working. The board of supervisors has to work with you and say these are areas of concern. This is what we want to do. They come back and they say here's the money. Highway funds is higher than normal. It's been a challenge.
I'm not going to make a motion, but my thinking, the fact is, we should defer and give the applicant a chance to come back with specifics about the project. I don't think that none of us know whether we want 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, or like 150 years. You know, what is reasonable? So how are we going to put something on something that is sent to the board of supervisors when we don't really know what's reasonable? Any more discussion? If not, I'm going to ask for a motion. And
I move that the Planning Commission recommend deferral of the attached ordinance for ZP-1502, a request to amend the Lynn County zoning map with respect to approximately 21.5 acres of tax map 8, section 8, parcel 8, 1, 4, 8, to rezone the same from a
Mrs. Eager seconds that. All in favor for Mr. Gates' motion, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Was deferred to September meeting. Thank you. Does anybody need a break before we go to the... I'm going to call like a 5-minute recess, and then when we come back, we'll go to the public hearing on the Savannah County 2015 conference plan.
Yeah, he's got rails.
So they got to get more traffic in the house.
So you want to round that?
I lived in the Richmond.
Yeah.
And I was literally.
So I couldn't tell.
Drive.
Did you see a round?
Yeah. But I didn't pay the parking.
But you didn't pay the parking. But it isn't happening all the way around.
Today you're in your pool.
Yeah, yeah.
I was seven.
Yeah, there was a lot of trucks getting rid of a lot of things.
I get around.
Thank you.
Back on the bar parking. First street a lot.
Yes.
Send your bar there to the back of the car.
All right.
Book that I've read 100 times, so sometimes it's hard to concentrate.
So I'm just going to give a little brief background information. I know most of you have seen it several times, but it's public hearing, so I just want to start at the beginning. We are required by Virginia State Code to prepare and recommend, or you are, required to prepare and recommend a comprehensive plan for the physical development of the territory within the jurisdiction. And every governing body, meaning the Board of Supervisors, will be shall adopt a comprehensive plan for the territory under its jurisdiction. State Code also says that at least once every 5 years, the comprehensive plan shall be reviewed by the local planning commission to determine whether it is advisable to amend the plan. And so that's what we're doing now. This is the five-year update to the comprehensive plan. By state code, there are certain things that a comprehensive plan has to cover, and there are a lot of things that a comprehensive plan must or may cover. It must cover long-range development recommendations, transportation plan, map of road improvements, any measures towards affordable housing, and road impact fee service areas, if any such apply. It may cover, and ours does cover, land use, community facilities, historical areas of the county, groundwater protection, the capital improvements plan, zoning and subdivision recommendations, utilities, and various districts within the county. When we're looking at all of those things, these are some of the things that we're thinking about. Where is growth happening in the county? Where do we want growth to happen? Is the growth balanced, meaning is it a balance of commercial and residential? Is it a balance of multi-family residential and single-family residential? All of those things. To your ideas of what balance means, is the growth that's happening balanced? What do we want for the community? What don't we want for the community? And finally, how do we achieve the goals that we've set forth? This is one of the most important parts of the comprehensive plan, the community planning areas. These are designated growth areas within the county. Places where growth is occurring and should continue to grow because of a number of factors, including existing population, established villages, commercial services, employment centers, and the presence of infrastructure, sewer and water, and other infrastructure. The comprehensive plan is organized into 12 chapters. We combined two of the chapters. Land use and community design used to be separate. It logically seemed right to combine them. There's a lot of repetition and a lot of risk of contradiction, so we combined those. It begins with natural environment, land use and community design, then infrastructure, transportation, economic development, historic preservation, parks and recreation, housing, human services, education, public safety, and finally financial sustainability. So together it's supposed to form a comprehensive document that works together. Moving on to some of the new goals in this updated comprehensive plan. The planning commission, planning staff, discussions with the board, multiple meetings with citizens, that hopefully were pretty much a two-way dialogue. We tried our best to listen and have that as a conversation. And these are the things that we've all come up with together. First, to coordinate growth throughout the county. This involves encouraging a variety of housing types and a mixture of uses, changes to the future land use map, including the new the community planning area at Zion Crossroads, which you've all seen extending further west and extending less far to the east, the smaller Palmyra planning area. The comprehensive plan encourages infill development where possible. There are multiple measures in the goals and objectives to preserve open space and rural character. We call for keeping Palmyra village-like in its character, and finally restricting PUD development to design crossroads CPA. This is the updated community planning area map that I was discussing a moment ago. You can see Zion Crossroad used to go a lot further out to the east here, but it wasn't touching 250. We're not anticipating infrastructure there. We are anticipating infrastructure here in the western end, which used to not be part of the CPA. It also manages to capture both 250 and 64. And so it represented a good opportunity to combine the infrastructure, the transportation, and existing businesses and employment centers to make a strong community planning area there. You can also see here, Palmyra is significantly smaller than it used to be, meaning that development in any sort of intensive way is more compacted towards the middle and not spreading out as it was in the previous version of the map. Speaking of which, you can see here the former area went all the way out there, the lighter purple, and this contracted area is the new one. So we made it significantly smaller to honor the existing village while focusing on historic and natural assets and eventually improving infrastructure there. Zion Crossroads, I already mentioned, goes all the way to the west now. It's where the county feels like the majority of growth should be guided because of both infrastructure and regional employment. The plan calls for a mix of residential, commercial, light industry, and office. Lake Monticello is not going to physically expand. The dark orange is Lake Monticello proper, and the lighter color around it is the sort of development that you see there on the outskirts. We are seeking to keep the existing